This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, gentlemen, a little controversy taking place already here for the UK Rampage. I wanted to demonstrate the international appeal of the World Wrestling Federation. Great superstars coming from literally all four corners of the globe. Good example, good case in point, this man from the South Pacific island of Tonga. He is Haku. Tonight, Greg the Hammer Valentine, sir.
Wait a minute.
This television...
Wait a minute now.
We're televising here. Wait a minute, we should be talking in English.
If you stop helping me, I'm going to do the same thing I'm going to do to my opponent right here and right now.
Thank you very much, Haku, having a little trouble apparently with the language.
You know, Mean Gene, I would just shut my mouth next time, or your head might get popped off like a bottle cap. Welcome back, everyone, to the continuing series of pod blasts here at PlaceToBeNation.com of the candidacies for those eligible for Place to Be Nation's top 100 WWE superstars of all time. I am Scott Criscolo. To my right, Jason Greenhouse. That clip is from Rampage 1991, and the guy you heard talking, not that little twerp Mean Gene, but the guy talking in Samoan is the subject of our candidacy this evening, this afternoon. And that is affectionately known as Haku, formerly King Tonga. This one is one of those guys. I mean, you and I, Greeny, have done a few pod blasts so far, and most of the ones we've done in terms of making the list are pretty much softballs. It's maybe a question of where you would rank them. But this one, you and I might have to work a little hard on, because a lot of people probably look at Haku and go, yeah, he was some, you know, mid-card dude, couple tags, you know, decent TV guy, move on. But let me tell you something. A guy like Haku, in that, you know, five-year stretch he was with the company from, late 85, early 86, till he left just after the 1992 Rumble, and then, of course, his return in 2001. This was a glue guy, and all promotions need glue guys. He tagged, he was in singles, he was in the Heenan family. Obviously, this guy was important enough in the World Wrestling Federation for those 5 years from, you know, late 85, early 86, till he left at the beginning of 92, to warrant being involved in Bobby Heenan's family, to being a king, to being two pretty solid tag teams, the Islanders, and obviously he mostly carried the Colossal Connection, but that was neither here nor there. When you're still teaming with Andre the Giant, whether Andre could move or not is irrelevant, it's Andre the Giant. Greeny, Haku is one of those guys that, in all seriousness, the WWF couldn't not have. Considering you had guys earlier in the decade like the Titos and guys like that who had been the good glue of the mid-card, and then those guys kind of fell by the wayside. Haku was a glue to the mid-card on the heel side in that five-year stretch.
Yeah, Haku's a guy who worked his way up the ladder, so to speak, with the company, earned his stripes. He came in about late summer of 86. I think he was a part of that deal with the... with Vince purchasing the Montreal territory, that brought the Rougeau brothers and Dino Bravo into the company, and Haku was a part of that package. And of course, his first big exposure on TV was slamming Big John Studd. I'm sorry, on Championship Wrestling, and then following that, you know, Vince always had a love for the Samoan and for the Island guys, and putting him in a tag with Tama to form the Islanders. And the Islanders are one of the most underrated teams in the company's history. Of course, in the early 80s and late 70s, we had the Wild Samoans, and then in the 90s, we had the Head Shrinkers, and of course, now we have the Usos, and in the Hogan era, we had the Islanders. The Islanders, being a babyface team, it really wasn't working for them. I think they had a couple of matches probably with the Hart Foundation and Sheik and Volkoff and a few other teams on the house show circuit. But Samoans, historically in the company, are heels. So having them join up with Bobby Heenan was awesome. I was a big Islanders fan during one of the best tag team periods in the company. And the Islanders had some awesome matches with Strikeforce. Now, of course, before Strikeforce, there was a Can-Am connection, which the Islanders had turned on to become heels. And then Tom Zenk left the company, so Martel was looking for a new partner and eventually found Tito Santana. There's a bunch of 1987 MSG house show matches with the Islanders taking on Strikeforce, which are unbelievable. And, of course, after the Islanders broke up, I believe Tama left the company. They gave Haku the King gimmick, which was very good timing, because that's when Harley Race had the injury from the Saturday night's main event match against Hogan, where Race's whole body just basically went through a table and was out for a certain period of time. So they gave the King gimmick to Haku. And Haku was a great guy. Like I said, he earned his stripes. He went from a guy who would just come in for, you know, I guess being a part of a package from a territory that Vince purchased, and kind of working his way up the ladder. So he earned being the King. And of course, he had his match with Harley at the 1989 Royal Rumble, which is not really good. It's a match that would have been better 10 years earlier in like 1978 for Harley. Harley was cooked by then. But then Haku would end up feuding with Jim Duggan, and I believe he was involved with and then when Big John Studd came back, you started seeing the early stages of what would end up being the Colossal Connection, because Andre was feuding with Stud and Haku was feuding with Jim Duggan. So then they started doing the tag matches where it was Andre and Haku against Duggan and Stud. So Haku is a guy who could work singles. He can work tags. If you look at his time period in the company from the summer of 86 up until early 92, which I think the Royal Rumble 92 might have been his last match before leaving, he was on the road constantly. He's a guy who was never hurt. He only missed days if he was in jail for biting a guy's testicles off in, you know, in a bar fight or you know, doing a court appearance for those incidents. But he's a guy who was working somebody else differently on the house shows every single night. He was a reliable guy. He was a guy who was really good in the ring. One of those Samoan guys who could bump around, who were tough as all hell. I mean, how tough is this guy? Andre the Giant chose him as his partner. Andre, big 7 foot tall Andre the Giant, had Haku as his partner. That's how tough Haku was. And of course, their tag run as the tag team champions, beating Demolition and then losing them back to Demolition at WrestleMania 6. I think that was kind of a thank you to both Haku and Andre from Vince, for Haku being a guy that he can rely on during his time with the company, and because Andre was winding down his career, and you know, give him a belt and let him run with it for a little bit. But of course, Haku did all the ring work with Andre. And to backtrack really quickly, the feud with the Islanders and the British Bulldogs was really cool, with the Islanders and Bobby Heenan dog-napping Matilda, and of course leading to the six-man match with the Islanders and Bobby Heenan in Bobby's little safety outfit, that way Matilda doesn't bite him, against the British Bulldogs and Coco Beware at WrestleMania 4. And but the Islanders and Bulldogs did have some really good tag matches at the Garden, both Madison Square and the Boston Garden. Just seek them out on YouTube; they're there. seeing Dynamite and Haku go at it was really cool. But then to go back to 90 and 91, Haku was also a guy who you could put in a Saturday Night's Main Event match, which I think he had one. I know he definitely had one against Hogan when Hogan was champion. And I think he actually had a Saturday Night's Main Event match against Warrior when he was champion. So Saturday Night's Main Event being the nationally televised show that it was, Haku is a guy that Vince trusted with his top guys to make them look good on Saturday Night's Main Event. That says a lot about him. And of course, once him and Andre split, Haku ended up feuding with Davey Boy Smith when Davey returned to the company in 91. And, you know, Haku, you know, was winding down. Davey was coming back, so he helped put Davey over as a singles guy. And, of course, after leaving in 1992, he would go on to WCW, but he would make a surprise return in 2001 at the Royal Rumble and would stick around for a little while. And he was a guy who was this is when they were pushing Rikishi as a top heel, and of course, you know, going back to Vince's love for Samoans, he put the Samoan Rikishi with the Samoan Haku, and Haku didn't need to do anything at this point in his career. He was basically a guy to help put Rikishi over as the heel and to put them into tag matches together. And but yeah, Haku's a guy who you might want to take a look at. I know some people might not include him. I am including him on my list just because he's a guy who was very reliable, the longevity that he had. He worked his way up. A better tag guy than a singles guy. Maybe one of the top 10 best tag guys in the company, you know, with the Islanders, with Andre. Oh, and of course, the tag team that he had with the Barbarian in 1991, and one of the best opening WrestleMania matches of all time, pitting Haku and the Barbarian against the Rockers. Definitely check that out too. If you haven't watched it in a while, check it out again. It's an awesome match. But yeah, Haku's a guy who belongs on this list. I'm not gonna rank him nowhere near where I'm going to have Rude, Adonis, and Orndorff, guys who we had discussed before. Haku's a guy who I feel comfortable putting at about 85 to 90. Just a guy who has earned my respect. I'm sure they earned a lot of other people's respect. He's a guy who defended the business while on the road. Of course, you know his reputation speaks for himself. You can pull up any shoot interview online and listen to what people had to say about Haku. But he's a guy who believed in sticking up for the business. He took pride in what he did. He wouldn't take crap from people who said that wrestling was fake. He'd go into a bar, grab you by your nose, and break your nose in five different spots. That's just the kind of person that he was. But also a guy who was respected by his peers. But again, go back, take a look at his the matches with the Islanders against the Can-Am Connection. There's better matches with the Islanders and Strikeforce, just because I think Tito and Martel were better than Martel and Zank. Some good British Bulldog matches. The WrestleMania 7 match against the Rockers, and the Saturday Night's Main Event matches against Hogan and against against the Warrior. So yeah, somewhere between 80 and 90 for a Haku, a guy who earned his spot onto this list for me.
You do realize if you don't put him on your list, he's going to gouge your fucking eye out and stick one of your nuts in the socket in its place. So we really can just say here and go, we're going to put him on the list or he's going to kill us. Now, and yes, I think the notoriety and the reputation that he has to be included in it. I mean, it's the stuff of legend. He lifted Brutus Beefcake up in the shower by both hands by the throat and lifted him a foot off the ground because Beefcake bitched that he worked too stiff. And then the few guys Haku had any respect for was Hogan. And Hogan told Haku, put him down. And he put him down very slowly. How about that? I think Beefcake shouldn't be on the list just because he's a big puss bag. By the way, Andre the Giant also said once in an interview, Andre fears no one because Andre doesn't give a shit. Andre's intimidating, but Andre doesn't want to fight. Andre wants to just, you know, bang chicks and drink gallons of wine. But there were two guys he had the utmost respect for and were almost was, I wouldn't say afraid of, but two guys in all of the history of wrestling that Andre said he would never have, he never messed with. Haku and Harley Race. Either of those guys in a bar, boop, I'm out the fucking door. I'll tell you right now. But great job, Greeny, because this guy was a glue for a lot of other guys. I mean, he was an exemplary tag team worker. We saw that in the Colossal Connection because Andre could barely do anything at the end of 89 into 1990, barely anything at all. He established himself as a tough guy. He looked good getting beat up, even though in reality he can't. And he fit in well for a guy who couldn't talk, who didn't cut promos. That's the better. That's even more the incredible thing about Haku, Greeny, is that here's a guy who really didn't talk that well, was not a promo cutter, yet could still reflect exude an energy, whether it be babyface or heel. Obviously, most of his WWF career, he was a heel, and you could tell. And this guy was legit. So, for us, I have nothing more really to say. Greeny covered everything. But I highly recommend all those matches, in particular the WrestleMania 7 match with him and the Barbarian, two guys I wouldn't want to fuck with, against the Rockers. Anything in 87, 88 with, as you mentioned, with the Bulldogs and Strikeforce. And Haku could fit with anybody. Haku could high fly, he could thrust kick you in the fucking throat, or he could just bludgeon you to death with strikes. The guy knew how to wrestle. The guy knew how to wrestle. And this is a key thing. I'm going to make a big qualifying point here. When all of you listening out there are thinking about your lists, you can't have 100 main eventers, and you can't have 50 main eventers and 50 like Intercontinental champions. You got to give respect to guys like Haku, who just fit like a glove in the Federation era when you needed these glue guys in the mid card to fill tag teams, to fill mid card feuds. They made the guy king. Now, whether that was planned, or whether that was because Harley left, is irrelevant. You know, it's okay to get things by accident or by happenstance. It's what you do with it when you get it. And that is the key with Haku. And he made that king gimmick legit, sitting there on a throne. And it was awesome. You know, it was awesome. So check out those matches that Greeny mentioned. All the stuff with the British Bulldogs when they were in the Islanders. His solo run as king. Colossal Connection, and even the fun stuff he had with Rikishi when he came back in 2001. That stuff was really solid as well. Obviously, we can't count it in your deliberations and research, but he did do pretty good in WCW too. But of course, that doesn't really count here for our purposes. But you had one more thing to say?
Yeah, there's one more singles match of his to check out, and that's from the big event. The show from Toronto in August 86, which is on the network. And there's a 20-minute match. I think they go to a draw with him and Don Morocco. So if you want another good look at what he did as a singles worker, now Don Morocco's a guy who, you know, there's a lot of lovers and a lot of haters out there. There'll probably be some podcasts about him coming up soon. Myself, I'm a big Don Morocco fan. But him and... him and Haku going at it for 20-minute Broadway on the big event is definitely another one to check out.
Yeah, and that one you really need to respect because on JR's and my Vintage Vault refreshes, we saw some real stinkers with Haku when he was King Tonga and Morocco, and they kind of turned it around, and by late 86, they were putting on some great matches. So check out everything involving Haku and really think hard about putting him on your list. Again, I wouldn't say any higher than 80. Maybe if you're generous, you know, between 75 and 80 tops. But definitely in the 80s as a guy who really fit the mold of a good, solid mid-card wrestler. And obviously, if you go on Wikipedia and read some of the stories, a legitimate tough guy. I'm Scott Criscolo. He's Jason Greenhouse. Enjoy and research.
I present to you your new king and the new king of the world. generation. Here he comes.
Well, it's not someone in the ring. At least it's not you. You're still here at night time.
Oh, how about that? It's Haku.
Haku is the new king of wrestling, huh? They're holding the crown.
Bobby Heenan has outdone himself. Take a look at this lavish display.